With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Let's start with the shrimp. In a medium-sized bowl, toss the shrimp with a half a teaspoon of red pepper flakes, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 3/4 teaspoon of salt, and set aside. Over a high heat, quickly add the shrimp to the pan in a single layer. Cook without stirring until the bottoms turn spotty brown, about 30 to 60 seconds. Off heat, turn the shrimp over and add brandy. Let stand off heat until brandy warms slightly, about 5 to 10 seconds, and return pan to high heat. Wave flame over skillet until brandy ignites. Shake skillet until flames stop. Transfer shrimp to bowl and set aside.
Oh, I'm in.
Hungry now.
I am in for that. And if you watch the Jerry DiNardo videos, you get to see all of that done right in front of your
eyes. You learn some stuff, man.
All kinds of stuff going on there. Jerry DiNardo is a man who knows Big Ten college football better than anybody. He's on Twitter at Jerry DiNardo, the Big Ten Network analyst, joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Jerry, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm not sure that was fair about the shrimp dish, but hey, it's been 100 years. It's great to talk to you two guys. How are you doing?
I know.
Great to have you on.
Wow, doing great. By the way, what is your favorite dish to prepare and your favorite dish to eat, if they're different things?
Well, my favorite pasta dish is the tomato vodka sauce, which I learned, you know, from Chicago restaurants. You know, I didn't grow up with it, but when I was in Chicago, I had a restaurant partner that grew up in Chicago. That's where I learned that dish. We do a lot of grilled oysters at home. You know, we love those. Lemon chicken, you know, just a lot of the traditional Italian stuff. But I also, you know, I've learned how to do jerk chicken. I've tried to learn how to do some different things that I've never, you know, never did or never ate, rather, as I was growing up. So I'm really not afraid to do anything, you know, especially because I don't have to really show the video to anybody on the ones that I mess up.
Good self-editing, Jerry. Is the biggest story heading into this college football season in the Big Ten replacing Urban Meyer at Ohio State, or do you have a bigger one on your mind?
I'd say that's one of them. Michigan was picked, as you guys know, to win the conference. I think that's one of the reasons is because Urban's no longer at Ohio State. I think if Urban was there, Ohio State would have been picked, probably not by as big a margin as they have had. But I think the one thing that is on everybody's mind is the college football playoffs. I know this. I was in favor of the committee when it first started. Now I'm against it. I've lost all confidence in the committee because last year when Georgia lost in the championship game and was still ranked in the final poll at 5 ahead of Ohio State, that's when I thought there was way too much bias in the committee. It wasn't objective, and honestly, I've thrown my arms up with the committee.
Both you and Jim Delaney have thrown their arms up. He went off, has gone off on the College Football Playoff Committee. Is this something that's going to reverberate loudly through the NCAA, or do you worry that this will fall on deaf ears?
Well, Connor, this is, you know, it's about the commissioners. The NCAA has nothing to do with the College Football Playoff, and these commissioners will never turn it over. It's the only non-championship, non-sponsored by the NCAA championships. That's why you don't see the blue circle with the NCAA logo at the championship. So this is really about the commissioners, and I think there lies the problem, right? The SEC commissioner is probably very happy the way things are. So without the SEC on board, you very rarely get something done. Without Jim Delaney on board in the past, you rarely get something done. I think they overrepresent the commissioners, if you will. So I think the discussion will become this, Connor. If, in fact, the committee is struggling, because it's a lot different than the first committee. This committee has to live with the sins of the father, right? You know, do we get all these teams in? Do we get a group of five team in instead of a power five? They've got all this baggage. The first committee didn't have the baggage, and the first committee had a bunch of football people on it that knew the game. Okay, so if enough people in the country lose confidence in the committee, they'll keep the committee, but they'll make it a bigger playoff. So we'll see expansion because the margin of error will be decreased. That's where I see it going. So I think you're going to go to six teams, you're going to go to eight teams, and I think that's how they're going to find a solution.
Is Lovie Smith coaching for his job?
You know, I don't know. It's a great question. Here's how I feel about that, having been in that situation. Like, I'll give you a couple examples. We're at Colorado, which we eventually won the national championship, but in our third year, we won one game. We were getting worse. The head coach, Bill McCartney, was sitting at his desk. The athletic director came in and put a bunch of papers on his desk. Bill thought he was getting fired, and that was his buyout. It was a contract extension because they believed in his plan. You see what's going on in Nebraska. I think Scott Frost could win one or two games this year. I mean, I think he'll win more, and they would still have confidence. So when you say that about Lovie, the reason the answer to that question is only in Josh's hands or the university's hands, because regardless of how many games they win this year, do they still believe in his plan? The amount of games you win is the most obvious indication that the plan's good. But, I mean, Illinois has fired coaches. They've had one right after another. I mean, is 4 years enough, really, if it isn't a good year? I would say this to you. If you don't believe in the plan, it's enough. If you believe in a plan, it's not enough.
So, Jerry, I thoroughly enjoyed watching a lot of Purdue football last year. I did not expect to, but when you saw Rondale Moore did what he did on the opening week, the opening 2 weeks, really, it opened some eyes. Does Jeff Brohm and his crew have enough to actually improve in this season to put something together, or is this, like you say, you know, a process that needs to be trusted a little bit longer?
Well, I think the fact that they're in the West gives them a chance. I think, you know, probably everybody but Illinois actually has a chance to win the West. It's not the best division in college football, but it's the most balanced division in college football. And I think Purdue's one of those type of teams. I find it fascinating watching these ex-quarterbacks that were offensive coordinators became head coaches. I always say they aren't coaching the game during the game. They're playing the game. And Jeff Brohm is one of those guys. Steve Spurrier is one of those guys where he's standing on the sidelines. He's looking at the game through the quarterback's eyes, and they call unbelievable games. So I think Jeff Brohm is one of the best play callers, and I think play calling is an art. I think he's one of the best play callers in the country, and that gives him a chance, Connor and Dan, I think, to win the West. They don't have the best team. They won't have the best talent. They're still, like most young programs, deficient at the line of scrimmage because offense and defensive linemen are the two hardest positions to recruit.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the number 17 Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. It's, for me, it gets a little odd assessing the expectations for Northwestern football because they're always the same. They set a very high standard, and they talk about doing really good things, and they're always good. Is it the same? Is anything changing? Do you know if the relationship that Pat Fitzgerald has with Morton Shapiro is such that where he can say, "Look, give me a little leeway here. Let's really compete. You know, let's give me a couple guys here, guys there that maybe I couldn't have gotten in 5 years ago." Or is this just another Northwestern football team?
Well, you know, Dan, I'm not sure we can assume that Pat doesn't already have that. Okay,
okay.
I mean, being at Vanderbilt for 4 years, I mean, they never turned down a prospect I really wanted. And 1 year, one prospect had a 720 on his SAT. Now, we all know 720 is not
totally
an SAT that would get into Vanderbilt. He graduated in 4 years. He was a 3.0 student. So this private school meeting with the faculty to discuss a student that doesn't have the normal grades, I remember I got someone admitted to Vanderbilt for this reason. He was a very good student at a poor high school. He went to a high school that had 50% tardy and absenteeism daily. He never missed or was late for a class for school in 4 years. admissions looked at that and they said, okay, his test scores aren't good enough, but this is special. So I don't want to assume that Pat's not getting that. I think Pat is getting probably everything that he wants to compete at the highest level that he wants. He's already been to the championship game, obviously. I don't think they'll ever be as talented as the Eastern representative, but you get to Indianapolis, you don't have to be more talented than the Eastern team. You just got to beat them that day. You just got to play them once. They got to get some turnovers. You got to make some big plays, and before you know it, you win the Big Ten championship without having near the talent that, say, an Ohio State has.
Jerry, you say that anybody could win the West. I'm with you on that. How much of a variable, though, is what Wisconsin does at the quarterback spot with Jack Cohn, presumably the incumbent, and incomer Graham Mertz looking pretty good in spring?
Yeah, you know, kind of it always starts with the quarterback, right? So that's going to be a major, major factor. The other two things I bounce off you about Wisconsin is their schedule's the toughest of all,
yeah,
of all the West teams. Their crossovers are Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State. Crossovers always play somewhat of a role in division, in the championship of the division, especially West playing East schools. The other thing that I think, you know, it's kind of the elephant in the room, can places like Iowa's kind of evolving a little bit, places like Wisconsin, Michigan's already made the move. Can you still win at a high level lining up with a quarterback underneath the center, a fullback behind the quarterback, and a tailback behind the fullback? Mm-hmm. Now, there's no doubt that Wisconsin's probably going to continue to do that. But we saw with Don Brown's defense, they had 98 points scored against them the last two games against Florida and Ohio State, primarily because they play man coverage every down, and to play man coverage versus the spread attack nowadays is very difficult. So to line up in the pro formation and be explosive, look at Michigan State. No explosive on offense. They had the best defense in the country last year. They won seven games. We are in a time in college football where if you're not explosive offensively, you can win, but you can't win big. I think Wisconsin might be in that box a little bit.
You mentioned Nebraska before when you're talking about believing in the plan and believing in Scott Frost. I'm pretty bullish on this in no small part because he's got his guy at quarterback, and that connection is there. It's like a coach having his point guard and being able to trust that, and that if he stays healthy, why shouldn't we think that this is about ready to blow up?
Yeah, not only is it's not only like a coach having his point guard, it's like a coach who played point guard having his point guard.
Yep.
Back to the fact that the head coach played the quarterback position. So you're exactly right, Dan. I mean, there's no doubt. And you know, we hear this a lot, especially during media day. He's not only a great player, he's a great kid. Well, he is. I mean, this Martinez is a special personality, a special person. He's here for media days as a true sophomore. And when we asked Scott Frost why, he said because he can handle it. He didn't give us any coach talk. He said because he can handle it. If he's going to lead our team, he can handle media day. So I think Nebraska is going to be in the hunt. And my comment earlier about Nebraska wasn't because I don't think they're going to be any good. I was just trying to make a point about building a program. Nebraska, Iowa play the day after Thanksgiving, Friday in Lincoln. That very well could be the game that decides the Western Division champion.
Outside the Big Ten, all eyes are going to be on Alabama and Clemson yet again, because that's what we do every season. Nick Saban, though, saying that last year and late, having too many guys on his coaching staff focused on their future head coaching jobs was somewhat interesting to me. Is there trouble in paradise?
Well, I don't know if there's trouble. I mean, there's trouble in all paradises. It's just the level of trouble. You know, Nick has a lot of problems that we all would like to have, you know, losing national championship games. I think I've been through it as a head coach. I was through it when I was an assistant preparing for a national championship game at Colorado. I had been named the head coach of Vanderbilt, and I had other things on my mind as we were getting ready for that game. So I do think this, what Nick is saying, is real. There's no doubt it's real that all these distractions with staff members, and he's kind of a victim of his own success because he has enough money to hire anybody he wants, so he's always hiring high-level coaches. He's a really hard taskmaster, so if you can get in there, learn his system, and get out in a couple years, it's kind of like boot camp. It's a good deal. So people look forward to getting there, and they also look forward to getting out. So I think what he's saying kind of is real, and it'll be interesting to see how he addresses it because he's smarter than most people coaching the game. And he usually figures things out before the rest of us do.
Jerry, last thing real quick, the Harbaugh-Urban Meyer stuff that's bubbled up, is that kind of a wrestling work, or is how much of this is real?
I don't know. You know, it's so goofy. I don't know. Knowing Urban, someone probably had to tell him that he said it. I don't think he follows it that closely, and you know, you never really know what Jim means when he says something. So, I get it. I don't have a good feel for that whole situation.
Okay,
but it's something we can talk about, I guess. But I think we better fill the block with some other stuff too.
Fair enough. I get it, Jerry. Great catching
Thanks, Jerry.
Up. Thank you.
All right, see you, Kyle. See you, Dan.
That is Jerry DiNardo. Always a delight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.